You're listening to a Star Trek audio presentation from Frontline Productions. Visit us on the web at www.StarTrekDiplomaticRelations.com.
Greetings, Ambassador.
Borg, it's good to see you. I meant to say hello before the wedding ceremony, but I had business to attend to. I barely got here in time as it was.
Your tour of the Federation worlds closest to the Briar Patch has been successful?
To a degree. Of course, we left just as the Tholian conflict had been finally dealt with, and that Sirach fellow had been beaten. Many people were still angry that the Federation was involved in another conflict.
The Tholians are greedy petach, and the Breen have been desperate to secure a foothold here on Baku for years. Sirach was only the latest excuse that the Tholians and Breen needed to go into battle, Jessica. Surely you realize that.
Of course, General. As did the Federation President, which was why we went into battle as early as we did, instead of waiting for our allies first. Remember, we kept the Grey and Tholians occupied for nearly 3 years before we asked the Klingons for help.
Although they live now in Stovokor, forever in glorious battle, too many warriors, Klingon, human, and all the others, died senseless deaths because of Sirach's greed.
It's over now, and finally the entire Quadrant can get back to living in peace and seeing what benefits can be gained from the study of the Tetrahedron technology.
I was led to believe that information on that was classified.
I have my sources, General, as you well know. You don't get to be an ambassador at large to the entire Federation without connections.
Excuse me, General. Madam Ambassador, but I'm afraid it's almost time for Starfleet 1 to head out. You're needed aboard immediately, ma'am.
Ensign, I'm not old enough to be a ma'am just yet, thank you.
Oh, sorry, Madam Ambassador.
It's all right, Ensign. I'll let it slip for now. Very well. Tell the Admiral I will be aboard in a moment. What about our guests? Were they made aware of our departure time?
Both Captain Tor and the Lieutenant have already beamed aboard Starfleet 1.
Good. The sooner we get to Tan Los, the better I will feel.
Tan Los? I don't know that world.
It's a new Federation member, but it was a protectorate before that. We've been helping them rebuild their society after several centuries of, well, let's just say problems for now.
This is your new assignment I've heard about? Sending you to a backwater planet seems unwise. You are more than capable of handling something more fitting.
Why, Korg, that's the sweetest thing you've ever said to me.
Klingons are never sweet, Madam Ambassador.
Oh, I don't know. Your people have their moments. I'd better go. Don't be a stranger, Korg. Tan Los is still close enough to Sector 441 that I expect the occasional subspace call.
I shall endeavor to do so, Jessica. Wish you luck as well. I suspect your assignment will still challenge you. Life is not life without the occasional surprise. Kapla.
Ambassador Kingsley?
I'm ready, Ensign. Let's get going.
Lipinski to Starfleet 1. 2 to beam aboard.
Acknowledged, Ensign. Energizing.
Frontline Productions presents Star Trek Diplomatic Relations. The year is 2384, and peace is finally falling over an area of space that has been racked with years of conflict. The United Federation of Planets has welcomed a new alien world into the fold that is still finding its way in the galactic community, a world which holds many secrets and mysteries that its inhabitants and their Federation allies are only now beginning to explore. Episode 1, Rapprochement. Starring Barbara Pruder as Jessica Kingsley, Carl Pruder as Sovik, and Holly Bednar as Rinsi Islam.
Oh, am I the last one to arrive?
You're late, Mr. Erzan. To a classified briefing, no less. Captain Torin and Ambassador Kingsley made it here on time. See that this does not happen again for the duration of this mission. Take a seat.
Apologies, Rear Admiral Stocker. I was reading over some old reports from the original sociology team.
Interesting read, Lieutenant?
Hardly, Ambassador. Frankly, I don't see why the Federation wasted its time before the discovery of the repositories.
It was our help that led them to discovering their archives. Otherwise, they'd still be recovering slowly from what happened to them.
Yes, well, as sorry as I am about what happened to them in the past, I'm more concerned with the present, and why I was called away from Chiron Station.
I have to say, I'm a little curious as well, Admiral. Assigning a Judge Advocate General Officer and a Linguistic Specialist to accompany an ambassador to a newly inducted Federation world doesn't happen every day.
I requested it, Captain Tor.
Madam Ambassador?
As you may or may not be aware, I have recently been visiting many of the Federation colonies and member worlds around the area of the former Briar Patch. The Federation President loaned me the use of Starfleet 1 for this assignment, as a showing of the flag, so to speak.
In other words, a PR stunt?
Exactly, Lieutenant. A Federation embassy on the planet Tipton Los had recently been established as the final process of the planet's change from protectorate to member was finalized. I paid them a visit, and during my time there, I became aware of certain things that worried me.
Isn't their society predominantly matriarchal, but not as segregated as worlds like Angel One?
Correct, Captain. But since the time they call the Great Wars of past time, those kinds of views have been changing.
The Ferengi must have loved that kind of mentality from their subjects.
What do the Ferengi have to do with it?
Really, Captain, you should read the material that is sent to you. It can come in quite useful.
When their world was decimated by their Great Wars, they were effectively reduced to a pre-industrial level of life. Sometime later, the Ferengi came along, around the early 21st century, and conquered the world, which, given their civilization's status, was met with no resistance. The Ferengi were seen as another vengeful god striking at them.
Pardon me for saying so, but that seems atypical of Ferengi. Conquering a world?
For the Ferengi of today it is. But then they were more ruthless, although they perceived it as exploiting a resource, not as slavery. That is unheard of in Ferengi culture. They didn't even consider women slaves, merely property. In their culture, there is a difference. Eventually, after strip mining the planet and trying to forcibly change the culture, the Ferengi left.
Well, the Ferengi haven't been much help in establishing why they left. But Starfleet Command theorized that due to the expansionist phase of several galactic powers at that time, they were simply afraid of the planet's possible strategic importance.
But the Federation got to Tan Los first.
Not quite, Captain. They were more or less left alone due to being, for lack of a better term, a backwater planet. The Tan Lana, the people of Tan Los, were able to break down and understand what material had been left behind by the Ferengi forces and use it to help with their rebuilding efforts, which helped unite the world under a planetary government, the High Curia. They even began to look into space travel, which is when the Federation stepped in.
The Federation Council recognized the mess the Ferengi had left behind. After a survey ship, the Aldrin, picked up their initial warp trails and conducted some covert observations. After a period of debate, it was decided to lend assistance with their rebuilding, which eventually led to them being made a protectorate.
You make it sound so selfless, Admiral, when it was so much more than that.
Your point, Mr. Erzan?
Just that the Federation wasn't that altruistic. The world does have strategic value, especially since first contact occurred shortly before the beginning of the brief lapse in the Kitimer Accords.
So, by keeping a presence there, we could keep an eye on the Klingon deployments in Cardassian space.
I admit, the fact we had supply and aid ships in the area did present an opportunity.
Something the Tan Lana are more than willing to overlook, I assure you. They are only beginning to understand the concept of the galactic community and the political machinations involved, and they welcome any help the Federation can offer. They even agreed to allow their orbital construction yards to be refit for use on Federation vessels.
Lieutenant Azan, you mentioned repositories. What exactly did they store?
Knowledge, Captain.
Would you care to elaborate on that, Lieutenant?
According to the reports filed by the sociologists and archaeologists who were present when the initial discovery of the first repository was found, they hold a wealth of information regarding various fields of study. These include science, technology, aspects of the Tenlana past before their so-called Great Wars.
Sounds incredible. Wait, you said the first repository. They found another?
They've found dozens. Each one is a different resource of information, and revealing more about just the kind of level that the Tanlana were at before their society collapsed after the wars. It seems that as a society, they were more inclined to medical and scientific research than anything else, since this is what has been predominantly found.
So they could literally give themselves a kickstart and reboot themselves to the same level they were at before.
An interesting analogy, Captain, but even if they could do so, they run the risk of, shall we say, crashing again.
They recognize just how important this discovery is to their cultural identity, as well as the threat it could represent. That is why their first representative, in agreement with their ruling monarchy, proposed full membership with the Federation, so we could lend our complete assistance.
So, while we assist them to make sure they don't blow their planet up, we can also peruse their informational archives for our own uses. How truly charitable.
They gladly welcome sharing their knowledge with us as we return the favor. Although they have suspended their own warp program to focus on the repositories, they still welcome any technological assistance we can render as part of being a full, if junior, member of the Federation.
Okay, that's the background part of our story over. Why do you need the lieutenant?
Aren't you curious as to the reason you were assigned captain?
I already am aware of it, Lieutenant. I just don't feel the need to share it.
I'm coming to the specific reason, but for now, I would like to introduce a few people to you. Admiral, if you wouldn't mind, if you will look towards the display screen, you will see a few of the key political players on Tanlos. The picture on the left is First Representative Rin C. Aslan, the leader of the Hykeria of Tanlos. She is a strong proponent of the current attitudes, such as male equality, and the fortifying of relations with the Federation. But she faces quite a bit of opposition. The second, Kriho Timat, is the second representative, deputy leader of the High Curator. Although they share the basic views on male rights, that is where their commonalities stop. He is against full-status Federation membership, seeing the protectorate status as a more ideal redevelopment ground for their culture. He was also running against East Larn in the election that brought her to power.
So how is he now in place to be her deputy?
Normally, he wouldn't be. But for some reason, Eslan chose him to be her number two.
The age-old adage amongst every race, it seems. Keep your friends close and enemies closer.
Is that why Admiral Prentice and Captain Hunter keep you in the Charybdis sector, Lieutenant?
Bridge to Admiral Stalker.
Stalker here. Go ahead, Commander.
Sir, we're coming up on the Tanlos system. Arrival is in 20 minutes.
Acknowledged, Commander. Thanks for the heads up.
This is the current ruler of the monarchical family of Tanlos. The Princess Regent, Mai Li, of the royal blood. Her mother passed away several years ago, and she is the only child of the current line.
She can't be older than 20, and she is the head of state for the planet?
The monarchy is merely ceremonial since the Great Wars. The High Curia has taken over almost every aspect of the everyday political and governmental work. She is essentially a figurehead, but one of the factors we will still have to deal with. In fact, I have to present myself to her to be officially welcomed as Federation Ambassador.
Sounds cozy.
Actually, it probably will be. I met her during my last visit. She is a very confident and forthright young woman. However, she does embody a somewhat archaic stereotype that the planet is trying to move beyond.
As much as I am enjoying this social commentary, I do have one request, Ambassador.
Don't worry, Lieutenant. I'm about to explain why I requested your presence. Take a look at this image.
One of the repositories?
Exactly. One of the oldest discovered, and judging from most of the writing found with it, probably the first.
So, you need me to translate? Surely these Tanlana would be of more help, since I've never actually seen their language before the mission reports you sent me.
Actually, I want you to work on something else, Lieutenant. Specifically, this.
But that's impossible!
My ancient languages are a little rusty. Can someone help me out?
What we're looking at is a section of the architecture that is older than all the other repositories combined, and has writing that is apparently not native to Tan Loss. We're not sure what it says. There are not many specialist linguists these days, thanks to developments in the Universal Translator. But thankfully, enough are around to work on the languages that the translator still gets stumped by. Mr. Azan here is one such individual, and we're hoping the good lieutenant will be able to get started on this as soon as possible.
But who wrote it?
I'd like to remind the two of you that this briefing is classified until further notice.
Tell me, Delonis, have you ever heard of the Preservers?
Okay, Jessica, we're alone now. You know I'd do anything for you, but I'm still a little confused myself as to why you need me.
I need your eyes, Delonis. You're a great investigator, and I need that instinct, especially considering some of the politicians I will be working with. I realize that there are some things that I might not be willing to see either, and I want someone I trust to be there with me, at least to begin with.
You know I'll help any way I can. But I'm only on temporary assignment. I won't be here for the long term.
Unless I finally sway you to the diplomatic corps and out of Starfleet.
Have you seen the size of my office on Starbase 590? I'm not leaving that for a while yet. Anyway, I'd better get my things together. I'll see you in the transporter room.
See you there, Delonis. Lights. My God, Seth! You scared me! Were you asleep on the couch?
Kinda, yeah.
Ow! What have you done?
Nothing bad, I swear. Well, not too bad. Just pulled a muscle, I think.
Seth, don't give me the runaround.
I was in the holosuite with a couple of the guys that I've met since we got stuck on this tin can. That's all.
Seth Adam Kingsley, you are perfectly aware that I banned you from the holosuite because of what happened the last time you went in one unattended.
Relax, Mom. We played it safe, it was only a basic security simulation, and we had a lieutenant from security with us the whole time.
Well, forgive me for not being put at ease by that. Considering the last time you went into the holosuite, you hacked into the mainframe and went orbital skydiving, with the safeties off!
Jeez, will you ever let that one go?
How about... no. Was your sister with you?
No. Megan is also important. She doesn't have to hang around with her little brother. Just because she can work in the Stellar Dynamics lab.
Do me a favor. Just make sure your stuff is ready to be beamed down in the next few hours. Can you do that for me?
Sure, whatever.
And go find your sister for me. Make sure she is ready as well. I know how you both inherited your father's habit of not bothering with the mundane stuff until the last minute, and I will not keep everyone waiting because of it.
Don't worry, we'll do our best not to embarrass you. Ginger tea, warm.
You hate ginger tea.
It's for you. You're looking a little, exhausted.
There are times I really don't understand you.
Isn't that what teenagers are all about? When are you heading planetside?
In about 20 minutes. I just have to gather a few things that I need to take with me on the beam down.
In that case, I'll see you later. After I find Megan.
Thank you, honey. God, I've missed our little talks.
You seem nervous, First Representative. Surely you're not afraid your precious Federation Ambassador will risk offending Her Royal Highness by being late?
I do not have the patience to put up with your insinuations today, Creho. Today is a great day in the rebuilding of our society. Can you not just accept that?
No, because that is where you and I have a fundamental difference of opinion. I appreciate all the help the Federation has provided. But as a people, we need to learn to be independent, not answer to another race's beck and call.
How many times must I explain that the Federation will not treat us in the same manner as did the avatars of greed? They are an enlightened gathering of people.
That is your opinion, Renzi, of which you are entitled, but I refuse to be browbeaten into changing my own simply because I am a male and you are a female.
When have I ever given you an indication that I thought of you, or any male, in that kind of manner? I do not subscribe to those old views, just as you, Kriho.
We shall see if you continue to feel that way as the gender divide grows smaller every day.
Central Communications to the First Representative, please respond.
This is Islan. Go ahead.
The Federation delegation is ready to transport to your location.
Tell them to commence at once.
Acknowledged. Central Communications out.
Atu Shalva Ma'ar, First Representative. Thank you for receiving us in this place.
Your pronunciation has much improved, Madame Ambassador. I am very impressed.
The Ambassador did demonstrate a remarkable aptitude for our spoken language during her initial visit, First Representative. Surely an indication of how well-versed she is in all facets of our culture. In the spirit of that effort, allow me to introduce myself in the manner of your people. Second Representative Kriho Timat of the High Curia of Tan Loss. It is an honor to finally make your acquaintance, Madam Ambassador. I hope you find your time here rewarding.
That is quite a handshake, Second Representative. I'm honored you have researched my own people's welcoming rituals. May I introduce my associate, Captain Delonis Tora. Ensigns Taylor and Prachar are our security escort. Standard procedure for any mission.
Of course, Ambassador. I assume they do not have any concealed weapons?
That wouldn't be the way we do things, First Representative. We keep everything up front.
No offense is intended, Captain Tor, but weapons of any variety are not permitted in the presence of any member of the House of Royal Blood. It is one of our oldest monarchical legislations.
One we always intend to show our respect for, Second Representative.
Of course, Madam Ambassador. I shall inform Her Royal Highness you are ready to present your letter of credence for her viewing. Fair day to you both. With your permission, First Representative.
Thank you, Second Taymot.
Well, that welcome was unexpected.
How so?
Taymot has made it very clear he does not support the idea of our world becoming a full member of the Federation. He fears we will lose whatever independence and identity we have developed as a race since the Avatars of Greed departed.
For now, he must realize that it pays to be more politic, I suppose. Anyway, enough of him for now. It's good to see you again, Prince.
As it is for me to see you, Jessica. I welcome the prospect of having you here, and all you and the Federation will help us accomplish. But first, our royal protocol must be maintained.
It will be good to see Her Royal Highness again.
She has spoken of her enjoyment of your last visit much, Jessica. You should be very proud that you made such a good impression in a small space of time. The family of royal blood has not been known for its patience with off-worlders since the Avatars of Greed departed our world.
I read some of the initial reports made by the sociology teams when we first made contact with your people. They mentioned that those of royal blood never chose to meet with any of the representatives sent out.
Yes. That is true. The family of royal blood has very little to do with our political processes anymore, except for events of ceremonial importance. But the Princess Regent is still recognized as our supreme ruler, at least legally. That is why Ambassador Kingsley must be presented to her for an official moment of reception.
Is there anything I should be aware of for the ceremony?
Not at all, Jessica. You will present your official letter of credence from the Federation President to Her Royal Highness, and she will give you her blessing and recognize your status. It is merely a formality, but one that must be made in order to send the right message to our people.
People like Timat, you mean?
Him and others like him. Since the Federation came and helped our people make the most startling discovery to date since the Great Wars, there has been mixed opinion. Even though the global referendum welcomed the change from protectorate to full member.
Change of any kind can be difficult to deal with, and your world has had more events than most in a relatively short space of time, First Representative. Don't fault your people for being indecisive when it's something perfectly natural.
You are right, of course. Anyway, We should make our way to the public chamber. Please, follow me.
Any observations to offer so far, Delonis?
Nothing as of yet, besides the obvious about Tiamat. That is definitely someone I'd like to keep myself aware of for all the wrong reasons. Maybe Azan was right about Aslan keeping her enemies closer than her friends?
I intend to ask her that eventually, once we have gotten the pomp out of the way.
Not looking forward to your official welcome?
I may understand the need for it, but I don't have to enjoy it. I have a job to do here, though, so sometimes that means sacrificing some of my personal feelings for the greater good, so to speak.
I've been there myself, as you might expect.
Exactly.
Ambassador, who is that?
Sovik? This is a surprise.
Should I ask why?
He was the interim Federation envoy assigned here.
Your predecessor, you mean?
Not just that. It was expected that he would be appointed as the official ambassador here until the Princess Regent chose me over him. Instead, he was assigned as my deputy chief of mission.
Ouch, even for a Vulcan, that had to sting.
I have a feeling that he would deny that till his dying day.
Typical Vulcan, then. Why was he passed over?
Honestly, I don't think he made a very good impression during his initial foray here. A man who suppresses his emotions dealing with a passionate post-matriarchal race may not have been the best idea. Given that, I didn't think he would make an appearance.
And appear as if he was holding an emotional grudge?
Good point.
Ambassador Kingsley, it is agreeable to see you again.
Fair day to you, Sovik, as our host would say. What brings you to the ceremony?
Ambassador, as your second in command here, it is quite logical for me to be present at your formal welcome to the Tanlana public. Surely you understand the reason for that.
Of course, Mr. Sovik. We must show our guests we are a united front for the Federation, whatever our personal feelings.
Madam Ambassador, I assure you, my personal feelings have nothing to do with this matter. I will take my place, Madam Ambassador.
Methinks the man doth protest too much, Jessica.
I get the same feeling, Captain, but Sovik is a problem for later. Well, here we go.
Members of state, representatives of our esteemed High Courier, and honored guests, we bid glorious welcome to our ruling Princess Regent, Miley of the Royal Blood.
Time to play nice with the locals. Good luck.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Excuse me.
Yes, what do you want?
I'm looking for Lieutenant Ajahn. He's supposed to be here researching the Tanlana repositories.
I am. And it's pronounced Azan. Who are you?
I'm Ursula Kellen, the science attaché. You're younger than I expected, Lieutenant, for a renowned linguistic expert.
Yes, I get that a lot, but I assure you, I have been doing this for longer than you've been alive.
Well, I thought I should introduce myself and offer my assistance with your research.
Your assistance, you say? Tell me, do you have any experience with preserver text, or even understand the basics?
I have been in charge of all those who helped work on the excavation on each repository that has been discovered. I have read everything I could find about the text of the preservers and its various dialects.
You've read up on it, really? And does that actually mean you understand what has been written, even one iota?
Who the hell are you to talk to me like this?
I'm the one that's going to have to do all the work in order to understand just what reason the preservers had to visit this planet.
I would have thought that was obvious. They are the preservers, after all.
Really? Tell me, in your studies, did you not notice the prevailing fact that the preservers have only relocated humans? Doesn't it make you think it is a little strange that indications of their presence have been found here, of all places? On a planet where humans have never been settled, but instead an indigenous race developed? I take your silence as your admittance that you hadn't thought of this startlingly obvious fact. Just as I suspected.
You arrogant, jumped-up little man. I don't care who brought you into this investigation, but I'm going to make sure you're shipped out as soon as possible.
I seriously doubt that, Miss Kellen, since it was Ambassador Kingsley who requested me. She is well aware of my skills and attributes, I assure you. Now, I have work to do, so I'd appreciate some privacy.
Oh!
Oh, thank the many gods of the universe, that annoying woman has gone!
Central communications to Lieutenant Kieran Azan.
Now what? This is Azan. Go ahead.
Lieutenant, you have an incoming call from the USS Intrepid.
Oh, joy. Just what I always wanted. Put it through down here. Lieutenant Commander Cade, what an unexpected surprise. I didn't expect to hear from you so soon.
I will admit I was intrigued. The ruins of Tanlos were one of the sites that always stuck with me.
Don't you mean it stuck with Rahl? She was the host of Cade at the time.
True enough, but I accompanied her to the site during my time as an initiate.
Well, it is Rahl's skills the situation here requires.
Are you admitting you need help, Lieutenant?
Hardly.
So why put in a call to me?
I didn't. Ambassador Kingsley, though, felt that she should call in any expertise that might be required. Hence her request for information from you. So, what can you tell me about your time on Tanlos?
If that was all you wanted, then I suggest you read my original reports. I don't have time to do your job for you, Lieutenant. Presumably there was a reason they wanted you, not me.
Why, Commander, are we jealous?
I was the one who discovered that site and the Preserver script, Lieutenant. I have no reason to be jealous. I suggest you visit the site yourself. Perhaps you will learn something by actually being there.
Do you really think that would make any difference?
Mr. Azan, sometimes the only way to get to grips with a problem is to get out of the lab and into the field. It's about time you understood that. Cade out.
Charming.
Personal log, stardate 61085.7. I have officially been welcomed by the Tanlana, and I am thankful the welcoming ceremony was brief and to the point. Although I was a little surprised to discover that Princess Mylee had decided to bestow a ritual royal title on me. The Lady Envoy has a distinct ring to it, I suppose, but will take a little getting used to, I think. Still, I've never been one for pomp and titles, which many consider strange given the career I've embarked on. But my personal feelings don't matter when considered against what I might help the Tanlana achieve while on this assignment. I do still fervently believe that I will be able to deliver on the promises that the Federation made to Tanlos. But given Starfleet's growing interests in the wealth of information that are held in the repositories, I do have a niggling doubt. Given the many conflicts the Federation, and by extension Starfleet, has been drawn into over the last decade, there has been a shift away from the founding beliefs into more militaristic attitudes, especially with the continued construction of dreadnoughts like the Excelsior and warships like the Defiant. I cannot help but wonder if at some point I will be forced to choose between the Federation I swore an oath to and a planet and people I fell in love with the second I first arrived here. End log.
Madam Ambassador, Deputy Sovik is here.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander. Send him in.
You wished to see me, Your Excellency?
Indeed I did, Sovik. Please, take a seat.
Very well. How may I be of service?
We both know that although the Tanlana may have chosen me to be the official Federation representative, you have been here the longest out of all the various personnel that have been assigned to the embassy.
That is correct.
Indeed. Well, I was wondering what your perceptions were about some of the others assigned as senior staff members here. I've read through their service records, of course, but you have interacted with them on a more personal basis than I. If we are going to work with these people, I want some better understanding of them.
I would wish to point out several errors in that statement, if I may, Madam Ambassador.
Okay.
Firstly, it would be erroneous to simply assume that my personal perceptions of the various members of senior staff would be beneficial to yourself, since we differ on our opinions of several matters pertaining to our assignments here. Secondly, since we are dealing with these people on a professional level, then their service records should contain any and all relevant information needed to understand them. Thirdly, and last of all, I am a Vulcan. Therefore, my opinions are without emotional context, which I believe is what your question is actually regarding. Therefore, again, my opinions would be invalid.
I appreciate your candor, Mr. Silvik. Allow me to be just as blunt. Service records contain only the barest hint of a person's real measure. If you read the files of the great Starfleet captains, it wouldn't explain how that person was able to go beyond the normal expectations of a person and become something more. Kirk, Garavik, Carter, Picard, DeSoto, Spock, T'Pol, Soval. Their service records only indicate dry facts, nothing really telling about them as an individual. Sometimes, logic has to give way to emotion in certain aspects of life.
Again, Your Excellency, we disagree on this. But if you wish, we can perform this review if you view it so necessary.
I do, thank you. Punch up the records, please.
Indeed.
Okay, so first we'll start with our public affairs.
Excuse me, you can't just go in there.
What the hell?
Lady Kingsley?
That depends on whom you might be, I'm afraid.
I'm sorry, Madam Ambassador. He just forced his way in.
It's okay, Lieutenant. However, I do suggest you call off security for the moment.
Yes, Your Excellency.
Perhaps I can make introductions. This is Vrenka Leprit, Your Excellency. He is the official government liaison officer assigned to us.
I thought you looked familiar, sir. But please, explain how that allows you to barge into my office without announcing yourself.
I am not bound by your rules, Madam Ambassador. I answer only to Her Royal Highness.
Mr. Leprit, I was unaware that common courtesy and diplomatic process were simply rules laid out by the Federation Diplomatic Corps. I believed that the Tanlana followed that kind of everyday etiquette, just like the many other races in the galaxy.
Only to those deserving of it.
Tell me, is there something specific I have done to earn this behavior? Or is it simply because I am a woman? I'm sure your cousin would not be very happy with it, though.
Excuse me?
I am afraid I do not understand.
You mean you weren't aware that Archduke Leprit is a cousin to Her Royal Highness, the Princess Mylie? I'm surprised, Silvik.
That detail was not on the dossier sent to us regarding Mr. Leprit, Your Excellency.
Oh, imagine that. Good thing I followed through on some extra information in order to build up emotional profiles of certain people.
You checked up on me? Investigated me? How dare you!
Nothing of the sort, Archduke. The princess told me all about you after my welcoming ceremony, actually. Told me how she looked forward to the two of us working together, and how you were dedicated to maintaining the relationship between Tan Loss and the Federation. I hope for the same.
Let me make one thing very clear, Your Excellency. I am here to make sure that the interests of the Tan Lana are the first and foremost concern of you and your staff. I care nothing for the interests that the Federation may have for us. Only what they can offer us as we continue to rebuild our society for the better. I consider the fact that a female being assigned the post is an insult to the many males of our world that continue to struggle for equal status. And it was a decision that I advise the Royal Highness to choose a different path on.
Yes, I am well aware of that fact.
You are?
Please don't underestimate me, Archduke. That is not a wise decision. Either politically or professionally. Now, if you have nothing further to add, Mr. Silvik and I have some business to attend to. You will be advised when your presence is required. Thank you.
Are you dismissing me?
I believe that point was perfectly clear. Fair day to you, Archduke.
Your Excellency, perhaps...
Ambassador, I demand that you...
Lieutenant Alexander, please make sure that the Archduke is escorted safely from the embassy.
Yes, Your Excellency.
We will speak of this again.
Of that, I am sure. Again, fair day. Well, that was an interesting take on first impressions.
Madam Ambassador, I do not believe that was a wise decision. He is royalty, at least marginally.
Perhaps, but I've hopefully dispelled any illusions he might have about being able to walk all over me. Besides, he is not the first self-important bureaucrat I've dealt with.
Did you humiliate all of them?
Only if absolutely necessary.
Fascinating, if illogical.
Perhaps so, Vic. But it was fun.
Well, it is not what I had anticipated.
You were expecting something else?
Given the fact that this repository was discovered over a year ago, I would have thought it would be less... filthy.
Excuse me?
How can anyone work in these kind of conditions and concentrate on their task?
Probably because they enjoy the work and don't care about the conditions, Lieutenant. Besides, I'm guessing that it once looked a lot worse than this.
If you insist...
Can I help you?
I doubt it.
Pardon me?
Ignore him. I'm Captain Tor, and he is Lieutenant Azan. We've been sent by Ambassador Kingsley to see the ruins for ourselves. Get an idea of what we're helping the Tanlana rediscover.
Oh. Well, follow me and I can give you a tour if you like.
I'm sure that would be fascinating, but I have work to do. If you'll excuse me, Captain...
You know, for someone from a race of listeners, he really needs to work on his people skills.
That would be an understatement. By the way, I'm Dr. Gregson. Phil Gregson.
Oh, the senior health attaché. What are you doing here?
Personal time. These ruins are fascinating. Even for a medical doctor who happens to be an amateur exoarchaeologist. Besides, part of my job is understanding and helping the Tanlana. And by learning more about their past... I feel I can help them in the present.
Interesting idea. So, that tour.
Well, why don't we start with the basics? Every repository seems to hold a massive amount of data in a variety of mediums. So far, we not only have found old parchments, books, but computer systems as well, which we've been able to jury-rig into working with their data stores completely intact. In fact, each and every find is remarkably preserved by some means we're still trying to identify, which is the only reason the books and such haven't disintegrated over the centuries and the data wasn't corrupted or fragmented.
I'll admit, the whole idea of these repositories blew me away when I was first told about them. The apparent entire knowledge of a race, safeguarded to make sure it survives whatever cataclysm threatened to annihilate its people.
The Federation's encountered the basic idea before, like the Kalandan Outpost, the Catan Probe, and the Darcy Array. But this is the first time that it's been found on a planet with a surviving populace. In those cases, the race died out, but in this case, the Tanlana managed to survive and rebuild, at least to some level. We've also discovered and begun excavation on a pre-existing tunnel system that appears to link the entire system together.
What about the other find?
That's classified, Captain.
Come on, Doctor. We both know that finding that here may be the key as to why this planet is different to all those others. Why this civilization survived and those didn't.
Maybe so, but here is not the best place to discuss it. What in the world?
Our ruling prince and regent, Miley of the Royal Blood.
Excuse me? What's going on? I wasn't aware of any visit.
You will address Her Majesty only when granted permission.
Stand down, guardsmen. Although these ruins hold the treasures of the past 10 Lost, our Federation friends have been invaluable with their efforts here, and we will follow their rules. Fair day, sir. May I be permitted your name?
Oh, Gregson. Dr. Gregson.
Are you in charge here?
More or less at the moment, Your Majesty.
Forgive the suddenness of my arrival here, and the over-eagerness of my royal guardsmen. They only wish to make sure I am protected. Captain Tor, it is pleasant to see you again.
I am honored, m'lady. What brings you here?
Consider it a whim. I had not yet had the chance to pay a visit to any of these shrines to our ancestors. But after the welcoming ceremony for the Lady Envoy, I decided it was high time to pay one a visit.
The Lady who?
That's the royal title the princess bestowed on Ambassador Kingsley.
Oh, well, it's lovely. Well, you picked a good time, Your Majesty. I was just giving the captain here a tour and details about some of the various finds.
I would very much like to hear what you have to say, Dr. Gregson. There will be a day when the Tanlana will finally be able to repay the Federation for all its help, and I hope we will all benefit from the knowledge we continue to discover here.
Well, why don't I show you the tunnel system? What we're standing in now is, for all intents and purposes, a reception room, which leads into a Nexus chamber. Its composition is still being studied, but it seems to be a variety of various minerals and such native to Tanlos, each with its own unique properties, like kelvinite and other such ores. When it was first discovered, it only apparently led to what we have called the storage centre, where all the various forms of information storage was kept. But on closer examination, we discovered that what we thought were merely decorative patterns in the Tanlana script were actually code sequences to activate hidden doors to the interconnected tunnel system. Now this one here is just similar to...
What the hell?!
Wait, they're armed with energy weapons. Don't provoke!
Princess, get down!
Look out! Princess!
You were warned, and you chose to fight. Foolish. Take note that if you heed our words, you'll not be harmed. We are here to make a stand for all those who seek freedom from oppression. And we will not leave until our message has been spread throughout Tanlos, and the change can finally begin!
This episode featured the voice talents of Barbara Pooter as Ambassador Jessica Kingsley, Andrew Foster as Captain Delanus Tor, Heather Ashley as Princess Mai Lee and Megan Kingsley, Holly Bednar as Rinsey Islan, Mike Skurr as Kriho Timat, Nick Beckwith as Dr. Philip Gregson, Glenn Smith as Commander Saad Al-Zaid, David Robertson as Vrenka Liprit, Betty Skurr as Jinla Sitan, Sharon Savine as Ursula Kellen, Martin Lejeune as Terrorist Leader, Christopher Redding as Seth Kingsley, Jonathan Connor as the Director, Roy McPhail as Rear Admiral Stalker, Lauren Davies as Lita Brennan, Lee Andrew as Lieutenant Andrew Alexander, Bayo Fraser as Ensign Lipinski, Jennifer Cole as Yela Norian, Alan DeMaul as Terrorist Number 1, Michael Hudson as Avrenosan, and featuring Alex Matthews as Karen Azan, Carl Pooter as General Korg and Sovic, Lucy Cook as Yanis Cade. Theme music by Bodo Hartwig.